Hello and welcome to this, our service from the Church of the Epiphany for the holiday week between Christmas and New Year's. Well, New Year's Eve, featuring Denise Pelley, will be December the 31st, coming right up. Doors open, bar opens at 7:30 at night, show at 8:30. We'll have pizza, music, dancing from 10 till past midnight. Ring in the new year the right way with London musical great Denise Pelley, piano extraordinaire Steve Hollowitz, and Adam Corrigan Hollowitz and Kedra Ryan with music, stories, and comedy. See Adam for tickets or call his number, which is in the email, or visit the website. $35 includes everything except beverages. It includes chips and ever-fresh pizza and sparkling wine, and the evening has a licensed cash bar. Buy your tickets. They're going quickly. And our food cupboard continues to do great work. And mint smoothies, Sandra has those, all proceeds to the work of the church. We're having meat and veggie pie making. We do need orders because we got a new environmental freezer, which is not as big as our old freezer. And so we won't be able to just make a bunch and have them ahead. So please place your order by calling Barb, phone number and email. Trivia night, January 25th. Turkey dinner, the 22nd of February. That's a Saturday. And if you wish, our regular weekly donations or special donations may be sent to our envelope secretary, Mrs. Barb Smallman. And her address and phone number are in the email. The flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of Ray Winnington, given by her husband Garfield and family. And now a reading. Jesus increased in favor with all. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. And when the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of this. Assuming he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. And then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all heard him, were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in his heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And now we will be hearing a special story by Pearl S. Buck. It is called Once Upon a Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. The house is still, the stockings hung at the chimney piece, the holly wreaths in the windows, and I have put the last gift under the Christmas tree. I treasure these final few minutes each year before I go upstairs. I feel my house warm about me, alive with past memories and present life, fulfillment of yesterday and anticipation of tomorrow. For strange and wonderful events have happened to me at Christmas, and I have come to expect the unexpected, some new joy above other joys, the over and beyond. I still wonder, what will it be this year? And while I wonder, I remember, and I do not know why, another Christmas long ago and far away from here, I think of a night before Christmas like this one. I was very young then, newly married to a man I did not know well enough, in that China. At least in the Chinese circles in which my family lived, it was difficult for a girl to see a young man alone or often. Letters, yes, but there were few meetings before we were married. Now I was alone with him at Christmas time. We two, the only Americans in a small ancient city in North China. And I was trying not to be lonely. My parents were coming to spend Christmas, however, and how eagerly I looked forward to that. For days I'd been making elaborate preparations. The first I had ever made by myself, a wild goose instead of a turkey not to be had in our remote part of the world, 8 precious Chinese pudding made of glutinous rice, and 8 kinds of sweet dried fruits instead of plum pudding, heavenly bamboo with its green leaves and scarlet berries instead of holly. And then, on the very morning of Christmas, a telegram announced that my mother was not well enough to come, and my father must stay with her. Suddenly, Christmas was empty, and the celebration forlorn. Of course, I tried to hide my disappointment, but the day dragged. I was glad when evening came. I could light the kerosene lamps. There was no such thing as electricity in our city. I played Christmas carols, I remember, and we talked, we two, of Christmas in our childhoods. He is in a farmhouse under snow in America, mine in a Chinese house in a tropical climate, until at last it was time to go to bed. I could not sleep, I remember. After an hour or so, just before midnight, I got up and went to the window in the living room and saw a star shining above the city wall, but very far away. It was at this moment that I heard a knock on the front door, a soft, hesitating sort of knock. Who could be there at such an hour? Bandits lurked in our area, and perhaps I should not open the door. But I did open it. A small boy stood there, a small Chinese boy, 10 years old, he said later, but looking 5 or 6. He was very thin, and he was in rags, but what I remember to this day are his eyes. He had enormous dark eyes in a thin, angelic little face, and forehead high and the chin pointed beneath a beautiful, calm mouth. Indeed, the expression of the face was unusual, pale and emaciated. That child's face was tranquil, confident, and untroubled. He did not speak. He simply stood there looking up at me. "Who are you?" I asked in Chinese. "I am no one," he answered. He spoke with pure Peking accent. "But what is your name?" I asked. "I have no name," he replied. "Where are your parents?" "I have no parents." I stared at him as though he had dropped out of the sky. Perhaps he had. "Where did you come from?" I asked next. "I come from nowhere," he said. "And you are going nowhere?" "Nowhere." "Then why come to me?" He shook his head, unable to answer, and he kept looking at me with those great, steady, luminous eyes. As for me, I stood in a sort of trance. Who was this lovely, solitary child? A beggar? But why here at our door? And why tonight at midnight? "Come in," I said. "You must be hungry." He came in silently, and I saw then how thin he was and how travel-worn. He was trying not to shiver, and he went to the fireplace where the last coals were still red and held out his hands to the warmth, delicate little hands. But black with dirt, his hair was brown with dust. Evidently, he'd been walking a long time, and he must have suffered some sort of shock since he remembered nothing. In silence, I took him to the bathroom and bathed him clean and cut short the legs and sleeves of a pair of flannel pajamas and put them on him and tied a strip around his narrow waist to hold him together. Then I gave him food, scrambled egg and bread and milk from a tin can. He did not know what the milk was, and he smelled it politely and set it aside. "Will you have tea?" I asked. "Please do not go to trouble," he replied. I made tea, and he drank it thirstily. Then I prepared a bed for him on the couch in the living room and sat by him until he went to sleep. I went back to bed, and for some reason I too was able to sleep. In the morning I went to the living room. He was already awake. He was sitting on the floor cross-legged looking at the tree with quiet pleasure. "Do you remember who you are this morning?" I inquired. He gave me a shy, lovely smile and shook his head. Then he said quite simply, "I have come to live with you." and that was the way it was. He shared our Christmas day, and I did not miss anyone. Since the shops were open that day like any other, I took him out and bought clothes for him, and he behaved as though he had always lived with us. We named him Noel. And if any of our Chinese friends and neighbors knew where he came from or who he was, they did not tell us. They simply declared that they had never seen him, and he never remembered anything of his life before that Christmas Eve, except that he was tired and hungry, and someone had told him to knock on our door. Of course, I know he was not the Christ child, or anyone like that, but he reminded me of that child, then and always until he died. He died very young, too, and in a way one could say he died for others. That was years later. Meanwhile, he lived with us and went to school and grew up. I do not remember that he was ever a trouble. He liked to study. People were drawn to him, but he made no close friends. He seemed always apart, pleasant and helpful, but apart. He grew into a tall, slender, brilliant young man. He wanted to be a doctor, and he became a good one. One of the rare ones who treated the poor and the helpless as carefully and lovingly as he did everyone else. No one else quite understood him. I think I did not either. He seemed utterly selfless, wholly devoted to the sick. He remained silent, meditative, his eyes still large and calm. Those delicate hands of his became the hands of a skilled surgeon, and it seemed he would go on living that way forever, and we accepted him, all of us, relying on his goodness. Then the war came, and China split in two. Everywhere, communists were fighting the nationalists. And in our city, both sides were angry with him because he treated the wounded, whatever side they were on. The communists won, and we, with all other Americans, had to leave China. I wanted him to come with us. I begged him to come, promising him more medical schooling, but he refused, smiling and gentle. I must stay here with my own people, he said. They will need me more than ever. I remonstrated, but will the communists let you be yourself? I'm only a doctor, he said. They can scarcely object to that. They need doctors. So we parted, I feeling that I was leaving a younger brother. At first we wrote letters, but later it seemed better for both if we did not write. He suspect because he had letters from America. I suspect because the letters came to me from China. Then I heard how he had died. A friend escaped from China and told me. He spent himself, my friend said, living alone and overwhelmed by work. He was the only doctor in hundreds of square miles, and people came to him from everywhere, especially wounded soldiers, and these from both sides. He was warned by the victors that he must treat only their wounded and not the wounded of the enemies. He smiled and said nothing and went on treating anyone who came to him. One night, he was called out of his sleep, and going to the door, he saw three men, ordinary men, it seemed. They asked him to come to visit a very sick man a few doors away. He buttoned his coat and went with them at once. When they turned the next corner, they shot him, and he died instantly. This is all I know, but it's not of his death that I think tonight. It is of him. As I saw him that Christmas Eve, long ago, a little child from nowhere, nameless, who came somehow to my door. And now let us pray. May our gracious God, whose light shines in the darkness of our lives, the one who formed creation, now hear the prayers we offer this day for all people. Lois, Barry, Linda, Debbie, Jamie, Jackie, Paul, Suzanne, and Ron, and Peter, Kenny, Jim, Norma, Dave, Peter, and Dan, Mike, Scott, Lisa, Roger, Maxine, Wendy, Eric, Beverly, Sarah, Jane, Linda, Jackie, Cam, Janice, and Darren. Splendor of eternal glory, grant that we may be faithful witnesses to the light that dawns this morning, proclaiming Christ's word of peace and salvation in acts of justice and mercy. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us. This is a blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Blessings around you each day as you trust Him.